blessings of the Lord. Amen. Jada did us good to know this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited for what the Lord has done. He has protected us. He has shielded us. If it were not for God, we would not be here. Amen. There are so many places we would be this morning. You could have received a phone call that could have distracted you to come into this house that is called by the name of the Lord. But you made it. God gave you the energy to wake out from your bed, and you kicked the blankets and you say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will go to the house of the Lord and worship him." Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the best place that we can ever be. And we need to have a longing and a yearning to come into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when you come into this house, this is not a house, you know, that belongs to any person. But this house has been dedicated to the worship and the honor of the name of the Lord. Amen. And so we should take it very seriously. Even as you enter the doors of this church, we ought to be praying and telling God, "God, I'm here for you. God, I'm here to dedicate my life for you." Amen. Praise be to God. I want us to sing as you sit down. I want to sing this song that I pledge my allegiance to the Lord. If it's saying you can bring it, because I don't think I can. Do you have the song singing with you on the? Can you have the sound bites? If you can, and if Carlos, please, you can come and play the guitar for me, please. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Julius, can you help me sing that song? What's going on? Amen. Can you come and help me sing this song, Julius? They're going to sing with you. Okay.
It's called it. Kill for telling other people about Jesus.
Song two.
But by that time, it was too late.
Okay, I can sing. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength. With all I am, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Sister Lorraine, please. We need the words. Is that it? Okay. To the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. Can we appreciate the Lord? Thank you, Pastor Julius.
Amen. Thank you, Carlos. We appreciate you. Amen. I just felt like singing that song as I was preparing, as the Lord put a message in my heart this morning concerning us this morning. I felt like this song would be so significant in what I'm just about to share. So we pledge our allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. And with all our strength and with all that we are, we will seek to honor his commands. Amen. And we pledge our allegiance to the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to bring a topic that I call breaking the cycle of defeat and self-condemnation.
breaking the cycle of defeat and self-condemnation. Can you say with me? Breaking the cycle of defeat and self-condemnation. Praise be to God. I know this first few Sundays we've been blessed by the man of God, Bishop Ronji. And for some of you that have not been able to make it, you can always get a CD, or you can go to the website and there's that link that leads us to where the word where Sister Lorraine downloads the messages that are preached every Sunday. So you can go there and listen to the word of the Lord. And it has been very, very powerful, even as it reminds us of our obligation even unto the Lord. Amen. I know that in our church, we all come from different backgrounds. And I don't even know or understand, you know, what you are exposed in when you accepted the Lord. Some of us would have come from mainstream churches. Some of us may have come from denominational churches. Some of you came from very structured churches whereby when people came, there was a book and you had to read a prayer, or you had to sing from a song book. There are some of us who came from churches whereby we used to beat the drums, you know, and unless we jumped and the dust filled the room, we never really felt like we went to church. Praise the Lord. That is you? There's some of us who came from very contemporary places, you know, where the guitar, you know, used to be to sound very nice, and the keyboard, you know, used to sound very nice. And, you know, we were exposed to exuberant worship, you know, as we were led by the praise and worship, and we worshiped God and we praise God. So many of us have different backgrounds of what church is. Praise be to God. But when we come in a place like this, we come and we are unified and we read the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is able to help us so that we are able to recognize what is the actual formality or what is Christianity. We should be able to address ourselves and to ask ourselves what is being born again? What is Christianity? What is church? You know, it is very, very essential, even as a born-again believer, to come to those concrete basic foundation truths about who the Lord is. Amen? Because when we know the truth, praise the Lord, when we know the truth shall set us free. Amen? As I was preparing this message, I felt like there's no other time as this when we need to have sound teaching of the word of the Lord, because there are all kinds of forms of teachings that are flying out. If you go on the internet, there's no shortage of teachings. If you really want to have various forms of teachings and beliefs, we heard the other day that there was a man of God or a minister, I don't know whether to call him a man of God, but there was a minister who was teaching people to eat grass. You know, there are all kinds of teachings, and you can be exposed to all kinds of teachings. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I was just visiting with them and asking them how they're doing with their Christian walk. And, you know, they were telling me, you know, Pastor, you know, now I don't even have to come to the church. I can log on and listen to the word of the Lord anywhere. And that is true. You know, you can get on the internet, and there are churches that have even streaming services, and that is very, very good. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you in the church this morning? I want you to respond to me. Don't be quiet on me now. Praise the Lord. There are all kinds of teachings that are out there, and we need to be very, very careful what we direct our minds into. We need to be very cautious, and we need to be cognizant that there are good teachings out there and as well as false teachings out there. Amen? Praise be to God. So we need to be sound in doctrine. We need to be sound in the word of the Lord. We need to take personal responsibility to make sure, because when we come here, right now is 10 minutes after 12. And I know by quarter to, maybe I'll be stopping. It is very, very hard for me to communicate all the things that God would want you to know or to have or to prepare you for your spiritual journey within 30 minutes. Are you listening to me? So it is of paramount importance that we spend time in the Word of God. Amen?
For some of us who may not really be involved in a group, you know, between the week, or you're not the people who tune to prayer meetings in the morning, that is very, very good. Hook yourself up with a team that can encourage you in the Lord. Amen? If you have time, you can come here for Bible study. Because, you know, during that time, we spend about 2 hours whereby we reason together in the word of the Lord. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and break down the nuggets. Praise be the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together? Hey, touch somebody. Tell them, I'm happy to be in the house of God. Amen. 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 And as we continue, there is a world view of what church is. Okay? There's a world view of what church is. Now, mostly from the world view, the world looks at a church and defines it in terms of usefulness, or whether it is, either a church can be useful or it's not useful. Okay, that is a worldview concerning a church. They want to see, and in fact, when they are asking anything concerning the church, the secular media or the world at large will view the church of its usefulness, maybe within the community, its usefulness within its congregation, its usefulness in how it is able to meet the psychological or physical needs of the people, and that is to a part it is right, but the actual. And it fails to define a church as a church, you know, the world fails to see the concrete definition of a church, of whether a church is going to be false or is going to be true. Because there are people who meet out there that are cults, but they do not necessarily worship the true God. Are we together? There are many people who meet elsewhere and they teach wrong teachings, and if you're not very careful, and if you've not been able to pull up your antennas, you might be hoodwinked and you might be carried away by people who teach the doctrines of demons. Are you listening to me? But there's a true church. Amen. There is a body of Christ that congregate together, that worship the true God, and this, I believe, that Empowerment Christian Center is one of those churches. That we meet here and congregate every Sunday morning. We congregate here on Wednesday. We congregate here on Thursday in the worship of the true God. Amen? Amen. And we need to hook up with congregations or in people that believe in the ultimate sacrifice that was given on the cross by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, there's one of my popular preachers that I listen to. His name is John Piper, and this is what he says. Now listen to this. The world views Christianity and other religions as useful depending on what socio, psychological, or physical benefits it may bring. In other words, the world doesn't access Christianity in the category of true or false, but in the categories of useful or harmful. The world does not think of Christianity as divine revelation, but as human opinion. The world does not believe that God must reveal our deepest need and then provide the remedy in Jesus Christ. The world believes that we know our deepest needs and that religion can be respectable if it helps meet them. The danger that the Christians start to think this way is huge and deadly. A reporter interviews a pastor and immediately defines by his questions the categories of explaining Christianity. What are you doing about affordable housing? How do you help people get jobs? What is your strategy for improving healthcare? Now, these are very good questions, by the way, and we need to address ourselves even to these questions. What are we doing as a church to help people rise up in their socioeconomic status? But if we make this a primary reason of what a church is, we miss the point. Amen? The primary reason why a church exists is that Jesus came here as an ultimate sacrifice for the sake of humanity. And he went to the cross and died. Amen. And everybody who comes to him begets or receives eternal life because of his work at the cross of Calvary. That is the primary reason why the church exists. Praise the Lord. So when you have that viewpoint, you're on the right track. to know that Jesus Christ was offered as the ultimate sacrifice for sin for humanity. He is the one, he is the bridge that connects us to God. Amen? The church is about righteousness. The church is about peace. The church is about the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. When we talk about the church, we are talking about the kingdom of God. When we are talking about the church, we are talking about righteousness. When you're talking about the church, we are talking about the joy in the Lord. Amen? And the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is peace, joy, and what? Righteousness. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That is the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things, other things shall be done what? Shall be added unto you. So we should not fall prey into the worldview of what a church is. As a matter of fact, I remember there was a time I was a pastor in a church, and you know, there was this lady who came, you know, she this was her very first Sunday, and she came to church, and she took offense in my not really going out to help her, because I didn't know what she was asking me, because this is exactly she was. She came and she told me, I'm new in the area, and this was a conversation between me and her. She said, Pastor, I'm new in the area. Do you know what apartments I need to go to? Do you know any agents, you know, for the apartments? And do you know what is the best place in the city where I can live? And I gave her some advice. And she asked me, what is the best dealership in the town where I can go and buy a car? And do you know what kind of a car that would survive this city? So I thought that, you know what, she was asking me too much information that I really did not even know. And I had told her, well, first of all, I don't know any agents, but you can Google, or you can go online and you can find the information from there. And you know, actually, this lady took offense. She said, yeah, Pastor, you don't know these things? And that was the last time I saw her. You know, when we come to church, I pray that we shall come to church to honor God. Amen? We shall not come to church to receive from the church. Amen? Are you listening to me? I know I'm working on some of messing up with some of the things that we all believe. It is very important for us to come to church, that the moment you hit that door, you're coming to honor God for what he has done. Amen? You're coming to offer your life unto the Lord. And you're coming to tell him, Lord, thank you because I was a sinner. And you plucked me out of a quagmire of sin. And behold, here I am to worship you. Amen? That should be the primary reason that you come into any Bible-believing church. That you're coming to offer your life as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God. I had a preacher who said, you know, most of his members, they were actually elderly. And they were going to church, and he said, most of my members, I know, they come to church because they need somebody to bury them after they die. You know? And I don't even know the reason why you come to church. I don't even know the reason why. Do you really know the reason why you are born again? Let me tell you. I read a scripture the other day, and it was telling me, it's really edified me. And this scripture is that the ways of the Lord are as higher and as wider than the ways of a man. In other words, his thoughts are not my thoughts. The way I process things is not the way God processes things. Amen? See, when you came into this world, the Lord knew that you'd be born again. Amen? There was a stamp upon your life that, you know what? This I have foreknown. I knew you even before you were formed in the womb of your mother. Amen? Praise be to God. God knew you even before, long, long before there was a cell that came in together to form you. And the Bible says that he has predestined you to be conformed to the image of God. Amen? God pre-knew you, and he preordained you to be predestined to be and conformed in his own image. What a mighty God we serve. That even in his intellect, he knew you before you came into this earth. He knew all your life, and he knew how your life would be and where you would even reside. He knew everything about you. Praise be to God. And so the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8. Can we go to the book of Romans chapter number 8? This is what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Can somebody say likeness of sinful flesh? On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot praise God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone do not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Can you jump all the way to verse number 28? Of the same Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? I love this. And I repeat verse number 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That portion of the scripture this is the message of the cross. I started by telling you that I don't know how you are taught some of us who are told that, you know, you have to really walk in order to gain, you know, a right position with God. There are some of us who are still dragging that mentality within us that the moment that you fail in one thing or another, that all hell will break up and it will come against you. Child of God, I want you to know this, that as long as you are born again, the life, the law of the life-giving spirit of the Lord has given you a right position with God. Amen? When God was sent to the cross of Calvary, the Bible has just told us that he was clothed in the likeness and in the form of a human flesh. So that what the law could not be able to accomplish through this sinful flesh, Christ Jesus himself, when he was taken to the cross, the condemnation that was upon you, that you were trying to be released off by us being subjected to the law, the condemnation that God had concerning humanity because of the Adamic sin, everything was poured upon Christ. Amen? It was poured upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. In the likeness of that, he was God without sin. And when he went to the cross, he became sin for you. In other words, there was a divine exchange between what God, the condemnation that God had for each and every person, and it came upon Christ, and he became the condemnation instead of you. Amen? The Bible tells us that our righteousness, our self-righteousness in the book of Isaiah, I believe chapter number 47, is like filthy rags before the Lord. Amen? Are you listening to me? Self-righteousness. What is self-righteousness? It is trying to work out things so that you can gain acceptance before the Lord. No one can gain acceptance to the Lord by the things that you do for the Lord. Amen? Are you listening to me? Our mind is at enmity with God. This flesh is at enmity with God. And Paul, if you read in the book of Romans chapter number 7, the whole of that chapter, I would like you to go take an account of what Paul wrote in that chapter, especially beginning from verse number 14. Paul expresses and he says this, that the things that I am at war because my flesh wants to do certain things, but my spirit doesn't want to do because I have the spirit life, the life-giving spirit within me that opposes the interaction and the desires of the flesh. So that I find myself committing or doing things that I don't want to do, and I feel bad about it, and I feel condemned about it. Right? I don't know about you, but I also, for many, many years, I felt like, you know what, when I failed to read the Bible today, when I failed to pray one today, when I failed to do one thing today, while I'm in the Lord and while I have accepted the Lord, I am self-condemned and I feel I need to come to church more, I need to read the Bible more, I need to do certain things so that I can receive acceptability to the Lord. No one can buy acceptability to the Lord unless... There's no one who can buy acceptability from the Lord if it were not for Jesus Christ giving up his life on the cross. Amen? And the condemnation that was supposed to be upon you, Jeff, the condemnation that was supposed to be upon you, Pastor Francis, was all poured on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus said, he stamped a stamp of and a seal and says that you have been justified. Amen? You have been made the righteousness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Everyone who has come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have received him as Lord and Savior, you have been justified. You have been made the righteousness of God. Amen? And so when you come and walk into the house of God, you're not walking into the house of God just because, you know what, I am coming here to just, you know, answer a roll call. You are coming here because of what God has been able to do in your life. Are you listening to me? And that's why your walk of life should not be based on what you saw other people do. You need to understand clearly that your relationship with God is not out of merit. It is not out of the things that you have been able to do. No one can earn their salvation. You are a self-righteousness. However, let me tell you, how hard you may try to work for the Lord, you'll find that you fail. You know? You try to be good to someone else, and before you know it, you'll be speaking something, you'll be feeling of the enemy trying to use your body to talk something negative about them. When the Lord looks at that, he doesn't look at that sin. He says, you're justified. You're the righteousness of God. Amen? In the book of Romans, chapter number 5. In the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Hear what the Bible says. Romans, chapter number 5, verses 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have been justified through faith. Somebody say, I'm justified. Come on, say like you believe it. I am justified. In other words, there is a number plate all around you that says, I am justified. The enemy will try to use your mind. The enemy will try to use your inner emotions and thoughts sometimes so that you can have a self-condemning thoughts within you. Oh, Lord, I missed church last Sunday. Oh, this week I failed to call sister so-and-so. Oh, Lord, this week I've not been able to pray. I've struggled to wake up in bed. And you have this self-condemning thoughts that has dragged you into an arena of defeat. And you felt like I amount to nothing. But I want you to know, church, that you've been justified. When the Lord looks at you, he looks at you through the eyes of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can never earn your salvation. Are you listening to me? God loves you unconditionally. Amen? God loves you unconditionally. And we should not approach, let me tell you, whenever we approach our walk with God, it should be out of what he was able to do, he is able to do for us. Are you listening to me? When you approach your walk with God, do not approach your walk with God because you want, you know, by the way, when we come to this church, you're not coming here to meet with anybody. That means even if nobody comes to church, you will feel an obligation to come when you know what God has done. That even though there is a power that deludes you and pushes you back so that you are subjected to your evil direction by your flesh, but it has been made powerless so that what the law could not do, Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, clothed in a form and a likeness of a human body, he came and he lived a holy life. And when he was subjected to the cross, he says that I receive the condemnation of people who have fallen before me. He received the condemnation of people who are yet to come. And that's why the Bible says that the earth waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. There are people that are yet to be born, that are predestined and pre-known to be and ordained as children of God. Amen. Your relationship or your walk of faith should not be out of an obligation of what you're able to do for God. What can we do? The Bible says we cannot do anything but by his strength. Amen? We cannot achieve anything. Everything that you have is by his provision. Praise be to God. Even the access that he has given you. How many people do you know today that have children? Let me tell you this. I read a documentary the other day. And I saw this woman, I think she was in one of the countries, I don't know whether it's Nigeria or Kenya actually, I think it was in either Kenya. Now let me tell you, all her children that have been born to her, they have not been able to walk. They have not been able to speak. They have not been, in fact, she has a 27-year-old, and she had a 26-year-old, and these were boys, and these were men, and they were sitting there just looking so, you know, helpless. And this woman was pleading her case, you know, to the media, and she was saying, I need help. And I stopped and I was thinking about what might have been for this woman. Bringing up her children until they were 27, 26, and even all her children, I think she had 5. None of them had been able to talk. None of them had been able to walk. And I think it was a demonic attack. And I thought and I said, God, what might have been for this woman? And I didn't see the husband. I think maybe the husband just rejected her and walked away from her. And I said, what could have it been for this woman staying for all these years and witnessing the plight of her children? What would it have been? I said, it must have been difficult. It must have been agonizing. Amen? It must have been terrorizing for this woman. And I said, God, sometimes, you know, we go through things and we go through stuff and we want, you know, we fail to understand the main agenda of a relationship between me and Christ. When you know the main agenda, when you know the walk of faith, when you understand what Jesus did for you, you will please him. You will please him without worrying what other people will talk about you. You will owe your allegiance to him. In your life, in your walk of life, in your speech, in your conduct, in the way you process your thoughts, it will be out of what he did for you. For none can earn the salvation that Jesus brought us here on earth. Are you listening to me? I don't even know what forms the basis, the foundation of your belief. I don't know whether you feel like we don't have church because there's no dust in this house, and you know, and the way you were brought up, it is until there was dust in that house. Maybe you saw people. There are people who had to you know, you knew that God visited the church until when people prayed and cried. Have you ever people who pray and cry? And it is not wrong, by the way. Do not get it wrong. It's not wrong to pray and cry. But there are people who are held up by that kind of a belief that unless I shed a tear, God will not hear me. You know, your relationship is not, that is a very out of the way kind of a relationship, a kind of a standard to base your relationship with the Lord. But your relationship ought to be that he gave up. He was condemned. My condemnation is found in Jesus on his crucified body. And therefore I can walk tall. And I can do, and I can act, and I can walk and have my being in the Lord, knowing what he has done for me. Amen? And when you think about serving the Lord, you will not serve the Lord so that you can please any man. Let me tell you, church, even nobody in this church, I will feel that obligation to come in the morning and pay my homage to my God and worship him and tell him, Lord, I owe my allegiance to you. For without you, I wouldn't even be here. Without you, Lord, I would not even be having the strength even to come and worship you. What a great exchange that I'm no longer a sinner, that I'm being made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. That you are the justified of the Lord. Let me tell you, when somebody comes, when the devil tried to creep in your life, to try to tell you, oh, you know what? You have really slackened in your faith. You know what? That's why these things. Do you know there are people who actually are visited by situations? Maybe your car is breaking up. Your child is getting sick. And you feel that the Lord is telling you, oh, God is punishing me for this. God does not punish you. His love is unconditional. Amen? Whether you pray today or you don't pray today, it does not change the level of his love towards you. Are you listening to me? Haya, no more can hear. Whether you pray or you don't pray, his love is constant, is made constant in your life. And your commitment to the Lord or your commitment to the service of the Lord should be out of what he has done for you. Amen? Amen. Are you listening, Pastor? You know, it should be out of what the transaction, when you think and you know what he did on the cross of Calvary. It should not escape your mind. It should not leave you, because that is the basis of the church. That is what Christianity is. But when we view it from the world point of view, that you know what, I go to this church, or you are going to whatever church you can go, because you know anybody can go to any church, and you can go to that church because of what that church can do, or if this church provides things, material things that can help me in this thing. And that is good. But the primary focus when you go to the house of God, or when you're in a journey of faith, is out of a relationship with him. Amen. The Bible says, for as many as have received Jesus, they have the Spirit of God in them. Amen. And when you have the Spirit of God, you're walking in the Spirit and you're subduing the desires of the flesh. Amen. And you're subduing the desires of the flesh, and you have peace with God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Bible says in Hosea, and we have quoted this many, many times, that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And also in the book of John, the Bible says in John 8:32 that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, but it is power to those that know God. Amen? It is the power of God through you. Your service for the Most High God, if there was no one on this earth who is left to serve the Lord, you will still serve him because of what he did on the cross. Because Jesus, if there was nobody to die for, he will still die for you, even as a single Christian. Amen? Are you listening to me? And so I would like us to form a basis of the foundation of our relationship with God ought to be out of what he has done, but not out of anything else. That should be the primary thing that pulls us towards a relationship with God. That we have been made the righteousness of God. That we've been justified. The Bible says now there's no condemnation to anybody who is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Who can bring a charge up? Who can bring a charge to a child of God? Who can bring a charge to you? Shai, who can bring a charge to you if you know God? No one ought to bring any charge to you. Amen? And anybody who does that goes against the law of Christ. Who can bring a charge to any Christian? Has not Jesus Christ died for you? Has not Jesus Christ paid the price for you? And so you ought to walk tall. When they are threatening to fire you, when they threaten to speak about you, when they threaten to do anything concerning your life, the purposes of God cannot be changed. He has established them since the foundations of the earth. And you are within those plans, you can never be moved. This is the truth that delivers us. When you know your position in God, who can bring a charge against the child of God? No one ought to bring any charge against you. No one ought to bring some judgment towards your love for him. It is only him who knows you. Amen? Not even the devil. And sometimes, you know, there's going to be chances when you're in physical pain and sickness has come. I remember sometime, you know, things were not going well and everything I tried to do, you know, things, you know, it's like you hit a rock and you're trying to do a project and everything is, you're so frustrated. I don't know whether there are people who identify with me, like you're trying to do something and you're trying to study, you're trying to apply for this thing and you're trying to do this other thing and it fails. And there's a tendency that the devil uses a bullhorn to sound in your spirit or to tell you, you know what, God has deserted you. It is because of your negligence in certain areas. That's why you're undergoing through these things. You need to tell the devil, listen to me, devil, I am justified. My price was paid in full at the old rugged cross. I'm a child of God. The Bible calls me more than a conqueror. And everything works for good because I love the Lord. And everything God said, everything according to his purpose. And I was supposed to be within that purpose. So devil, you better pack up all your belongings and flee in the name of Jesus. Because I'm justified. I've been made the righteousness of God. Do not allow the devil to preach to you. You know, when you fail to do one or two things that are connected to the service of the Most High God, Do not allow him to preach to you, you know? And do not ever think that the good things that come towards you, you know, let me tell you, sometimes we enjoy divine favor. Are you listening to me? There are certain times when it's like, you know, you're pushing the right buttons. And as you do this, this thing is happening and you're pushing the other thing, things are happening. They're not happening because it's because of your own plight or because of your own effort. It is because there's divine favor upon your life. I want you to know that. It is because of divine favor that is upon you. And I was telling you this. That his thought, the Bible says that his thoughts and his ways are as high as heaven is. Different from our minds. You see, people think about you when they'd like, for example, you know what? I can be tempted to think, oh, now Sister Piri doesn't come to church. What is happening now? You know? And I'm saying, okay, what did I do to her? You know, or something happens, you know, you know, people just don't want to talk to you. That's how people will sometimes disappoint you. Let me tell you, even your closest friends sometimes can disappoint you. But God will never disappoint you. God does not come to visit you based on your effort. God does not come to visit you, or God does not pass judgment out of because you never went to work one day, or you never paid your obligation here one day, that God is going to desert you because of that. He loves you unconditionally. And he is thinking, his mind, his love is constant. Somebody say, his love is constant. His love is unaffected by what you do. As long as you're in Christ Jesus, he looks at you through the eyes of his son, Jesus Christ, and he says, Jeff, you're justified. I don't care about what you went through. I don't care about the rejections that you experienced. But when I look at you, I'm looking at you as I would look at Jesus. That's why the Bible says that you are co-heir together with Jesus. Jesus is our elder brother. You need to say, Brother Jesus, here I am. Regardless of the things that you have gone through, say, Brother Jesus, here I am. I need part of my heritage. I am going through this and this. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Amen. Are you listening to me? Let your walk with God be based out of what he did for you, not out of what you have done. You cannot earn more credits. Your credit history. God does not run credit histories for his children. You have an A credit with God. In fact, what is the highest credit rating? Is it 800? Huh? Is it 800 or 900? I know some of us have never gotten even 900. That's why I'm asking. Is it 800? Everybody who is born again, your credit rating with God is at 800. Can you imagine if God would bless? I'm lingering just enough. I'm thinking, and God is asking, I'm thinking of blessing this son of mine. But you know what? He's been doing these things, and he has been doing the other thing. He has been doing this. And actually, according to heavenly credit system, I'm giving him a 400. But I'm looking at Sister Charity. Oh, this daughter. Oh, my goodness. She wakes up in the morning. She is doing all these things for me. And she is speaking good things about my gospel. And she is doing this. You know, I ought to give her the highest rate, 800. And so I'm going to delay justice because until I see his improvement. No, God does not think like that. You see, sometimes we think God thinks like we do. Unaona? But his thoughts are different from ours. And he is as high as the heaven is. So God thinks very differently concerning your family and concerning your children and concerning your business and concerning you. He doesn't reason like a human being. Amen? So when you know what God thinks about you, think about this. Man, when I was thinking about that, I said, God, please forgive me. Because many times I've wanted to work hard, work. Do you know, when you base your walk with God based on what he did for you, you will not even feel compelled. You'll be just giving it. You know, you'll be giving your services to the Lord. God, you are so loving. You did so much for me, Lord. I am surrendering my life to you. I owe my allegiance to you. My body belongs to you. My services belongs to you. My time belongs to you. My money belongs to you. My family belongs to you. I give it to you, Lord. Man, you know, you'll not be compelled to serve the Lord. Nobody will call you. Nobody will WhatsApp you. Nobody will text you. You feel an obligation to serve him. When you see somebody in need, you will remember what he did on the cross for you. That even when you didn't know, he died for you. And he gave up his life for you. That your condemnation is hidden in Christ. And it has been taken over by Christ Jesus. And that you are justified before the Lord. Amen. As I conclude, I love the month of September. Okay, September is the month that I was born. Actually, I was born on September 17. Oh, my birthday actually is around the corner. And I got the first job ever in my life in the month of September. Okay, and what else? Oh, I got married in the month of September too. Okay, and actually all my kids have been born, and my wife has been born several months from September, so, you know. So I love September. But this is how the Lord does it. If you really, if you didn't know about my birthday, and somebody just told you, you know, pastor's birthday is on the 17th, you say, well, pastor, I'm not going to be with you on the 17th because I'm planning to go away. And you give me a package, and you tell me, do not open that package. Okay? It is a gift, but do not open it until the day that is your birthday. And I'll be looking for it, and I'll be going like, I want to know what Brother Morena gave me, but he really told me not to open it up until my birthday. Okay? And if you read Romans 7, you see maladies and complicated life that Paul was going through. But after speaking all these things and after the struggle that he had, he realized, he recognized, what am I struggling with? My condemnation has been taken by Jesus. And he says, now, somebody say now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. You know, the spirit, the law of sin and death operated within me before I came to know Jesus. But when Jesus came into my life and I started a relationship with him, with me, I acknowledge that he died for me, so my condemnation, even the things that the flesh tells me and condemns me about this thing that I ought to please God, I ought to work for the Lord, has already been taken away by Christ on the cross. And so he says, I've been waiting for this for a long time. But when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, now is the moment to open up the gift. Amen? And to see what he has given you. Hallelujah. The fact that he has taken your condemnation away, it is a gift to you. Amen? That is the greatest gift that God could ever give to man. That he has taken away the condemnation. Let me tell you, Jeff, your sons today are still mad with you. But let me tell you, your books with God have been cleared. Your sins have been washed. They are as white as snow. And your name has been written in the book of life. They may not understand what happened because the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. But your name is written in the book of life. When you go to God, sometimes it is possible to feel like you want to drag your path to God. But God says, take away your path because you are a brand new creature. Amen. And so when you know what he has done, the power that he has, that he has given you to forgive you sins, your relationship with God, Jeff, will be out of what he has done for you. When I know. And that's why this one. When I know, no. Hey, what does that song say? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he redeemed me. Huh? How does that song go? Can you tell us how that song goes? Oh. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the life-giving spirit, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Think about it. When he placed my feet on solid ground, I was on unshaking ground. I was confused. I was being accused by the devil every moment. I could not even turn to the left. I could not turn to the right. My self-righteousness was like filthy rags. But now I can walk boldly in the city of Dallas that I'm justified. The righteousness of God. I don't care what people will call me. Amen? But I'm the righteousness of God. I'm justified. Amen? Don't allow the devil to creep in your bed to give you bad dreams. Tell him, devil, I am justified. I don't need these dreams. I am the. You are dealing with the Son of God. You are dealing with an heir of the kingdom. You are dealing with an heir of the kingdom, devil. Get away from my children. Get away from my family. Get away from my life. I am justified. I'm the righteousness of God. Stand on your feet. Amen. Church, I wouldn't want you to feel condemned. That things maybe sometimes were going so hard on you and you're not able to give your offering. Amen? But when it is in your position, when you know God has blessed you, don't give on or give your time or give your services based on that you wanna earn some points before the Lord. You will never earn points. Who can earn points before the Lord? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Are you listening to me? You can never earn enough points to please God. But you've been justified. You've been made the righteousness of God. Amen? And so when God has blessed you, when God has given you the time to serve God, do it out of what he has done for you. Do it that your services will not may escape the notice of Pastor Tony or anybody in the leadership. But God who sees in the sacred knows you. that there are things that you can do, even you don't even have to inform me. As long as the Lord knows about it. When you serve God out of a relationship with Him, you'll go far. I'm telling you, you'll go far. You do exploits. Amen? That's what the Bible says, that those who know their God shall do what? Shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. When you know your God, and the know, the K-N-O-W there, it's not just knowing, it is to be familiar. It's to allow that word to percolate in your word, the law of God. When you know it, when you are consumed by it, when you are intimate with it, you shall be strong and you shall do exploits. In the name of Jesus, lift up your right hand to the Lord. Father, we are thankful. Thank you because of what you did on the cross. Thank you because, Father, you have accepted us in the Beloved. You've made us heirs, co-heirs with Jesus. You've given us a right hand of fellowship, and you've welcomed us to live in the heavenly places together with Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all those who have come into a relationship with Jesus. I pray that, Father God, you shall help us to see what you have always wanted us to see. This is what church is about. This is what our walk of faith is about. Knowing that we are not condemned. Knowing that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. I pray that we shall be men and women who walk in the Spirit. We shall not be carnally aligned. Because those who walk in the flesh only satisfy the desires of the flesh, which leads to death. But those who walk in the Spirit are indeed the sons of God. I pray for each and every individual in this congregation. Father God, that you shall even pin this word into their hearts to know that they are the righteousness of God, that they are justified, and that their walk of faith ought to be out of a relationship, out of what you have done for them. In the name of the Lord. Father, nobody can earn points or can earn favor with you, because we all have mortal bodies. But Father, you've made us earn points by sending Jesus on the cross and to die for us. Lord, let this truth be pinned in our lives to know that we are accepted in the Beloved unconditionally. To the glory and honor of your name. There are people in this place that have never given their life to Jesus. Only people who have a relationship with Jesus can declare that there's no now condemnation in me. Those who are yet to join and have a relationship with God, then if they can open up their hearts and accept Him as Lord and Savior, they can come to that point where they can say, there's no condemnation in my heart. Help us, Lord, even to delve in this divine truth in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, explain it in a better way to them in their sleep and in their study this week, O God. You are the best teacher. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. I commit each and every family, Lord, that is represented in this church. I pray that we shall grow. I pray that we shall tend towards maturity so that, Father God, we can avoid just little foxes that try to bring offenses in us to the glory and honor of your name. Give us a great week ahead to the glory and honor of your name, Father. And help us, Lord, to be ambassadors, true and authentic ambassadors of Christ in whatever area we shall be in. And you shall be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you appreciate the Lord by giving Him a hand of praise? As Pastor Julius comes to conclude this service. Amen.